Good morning. The scripture this morning is taken from Matthew chapter 6, verses 5 through 15, and it's about concerning prayer. And whenever you pray, do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to stand and pray in the synagogues and at the street corners so that they may be seen by others. Truly I tell you, they have received their reward. But whenever you pray, go into your room and shut the door and pray to your Father who is in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you. When you are praying, do not heap up empty phrases as the Gentiles do, for they think that they will be heard because of their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him. Pray then in this way: Our Father in heaven, may your name be revered as holy. May your kingdom come. May your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors. And do not bring us to the time of trial, but rescue us from the evil one. For if you forgive others their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
I want to talk this morning a little bit about not how to pray, but why. Jesus, in the passage you just read, which then becomes, of course, our Lord's Prayer, talks about how to pray, and that's another sermon and probably a whole series of sermons about how to pray. This morning I want to talk about why pray, because I think a lot of people, even if they've been in church a long time, still wonder about that. According to Gallup and other survey takers, roughly half of Americans say that they pray weekly, which is to say, of course, at least once a week. Although I imagine that quite a few of us also pray weekly in the other sense, meaning without a lot of strong conviction, without a whole lot of belief, weekly spelled differently, not quite sure what we're doing when we pray or why we do that. Even some people who pray, and I know this from being in the church for a long time, not to mention those who don't, wonder, what sense does it really make to pray? And there are good reasons to ask that question. For one thing, none of us can see God, right? And so it's a natural temptation to imagine that when we close our eyes and bow our heads and say things, it's a natural temptation to imagine, well, maybe we're just talking to ourselves, because it's not like another person where you see the one you're talking to. So if I pray to God, am I really talking to somebody, or am I just talking to myself? And then there are theological questions, and these are good questions too. So for example, if God is all-knowing, as we say in our theology, then do we really need to remind God that somebody we care about is sick? Or that people suffer terrible calamities and need help? As if God wasn't paying attention or hadn't noticed these things, do we really need to do that? And Jesus himself, after all, says, your Father knows what you need before you ask. So does the Almighty really need suggestions or even plodding from the likes of us? If God is good, won't God already be planning to do the right thing? Why does God need us to say, please, please look after Aunt Jane or my friend Bill? And then again, I hear some people say, well, I never pray for myself, I only pray for other people. And at one level, that's sort of admirable, because they don't want to be selfish. And it feels to those folks like a kind of vanity to ask the maker of heaven and earth, the one who spread the vast expanse of space and time, to ask that God to pay special attention to them, even if it's for a good cause. People wonder, doesn't God have more important things to do? Doesn't like the war in Ukraine or something preoccupy God? Why should the Almighty God care about my little concerns? Some people never pray for themselves, but other people don't pray at all, because they really don't think it's going to do any good. And some of those people are thoughtful. They don't pray, for example, because they think the world runs on natural laws, right? And after God set those laws in motion, then God won't or maybe even can't intervene, right? And to those folks, that feels like a more sophisticated way of understanding the intelligence behind the universe. Einstein was like that. Einstein talked a lot about God, but Einstein thought that God was just sort of the intelligence that shows up in math and physics, and he would no more ask that God to intervene than he would ask for some special favor from gravity or electromagnetism. If you think God set the world in motion and just lets it run by itself, why would you imagine that God intervenes in all that? Then still, some people say, well, I don't believe prayer changes things, but I believe prayer changes me. And those folks, I've heard over the years, don't expect God to cure an illness or help anybody find a job or do anything concrete like that. But they think the prayer helps them to handle whatever's going to happen anyway. So for those folks, prayer is mostly psychology, a kind of attitude adjustment like meditation or mindfulness. So for all kinds of reasons, and perhaps you've met people that talk like that, maybe you have felt like that, some people never really pray for anything to change in the world because they don't think that makes any sense. But other people, you know, are exactly the opposite, right? They talk about the power of prayer as though it were a kind of force that they could wield as a function of their faith. Some believers, perhaps you've heard, are always urging people to pray and expect results. Prayer works, they say. And some of them will even say, expect a miracle, right? Oral Roberts always used to say that, expect a miracle, because we believe God can do miracles after all. And then they quote Jesus again, who says, whatever you ask in prayer through faith, you will receive. But think about that. That kind of belief can lead to obvious problems too, can't it? For starters, it doesn't always literally work, does it? Lots of prayers seem to go unanswered. Lots of people pray for healing or for some other good thing, and what they ask for doesn't happen. We just know that's just a fact. So at one level, it's simply not true that everybody always gets whatever they ask for in prayer. We know that's not the case. And presumably that's not what Jesus meant. Now when that happens, when somebody prays, then what they ask for, a good thing, healing or work or somebody to love. When somebody prays prayer for a good thing and it doesn't happen, you know there's always somebody who comes along and says, well, you must not have had enough faith, right? If you had enough faith, you would have received, because Jesus says, whatever you ask for in faith, you'll receive. But is that always true? Is it only faithless people, people who don't really believe in God, who don't get what they ask for? I don't know about you, but I've known lots of genuine believers over the years who've prayed for very good things, and the prayers did not seem to be answered. And then, when somebody came along and said, well, your prayer wasn't answered, obviously you don't have enough faith, in my experience, those people are left not only with the problems, the troubles that they brought to God in the first place, but that's all compounded by the feeling that maybe they're not even worthy of God's attention. Maybe they're not only suffering about the thing that they prayed for, maybe God doesn't even think they're worth listening to or answering their prayers. And all this points to yet another problem. Listen to the language that people sometimes use when they claim that prayer works. Sometimes it sounds as if they think they can control the outcome of prayers just by believing strongly enough. As if prayer were a kind of force to be mastered, right? The way the Jedi Knights learned to control the force in Star Wars, or like a magic spell that you could learn to make things happen, like Harry Potter and his friends at Hogwarts. Some people talk about prayer as if it was a kind of power they could control if they just managed to believe hard enough. There's a difference, though, between magic and faith. The difference between faith and magic has to do with who's in control. In magic, people have tried to practice magic in various ways through the centuries. In magic, human beings try to master some power to stay in control of things, even if they call it having faith. But that's not quite what Christianity teaches. In the Christian tradition, God is in charge, and God is the one who determines the outcomes. And that's why scientific studies that try to show whether prayer really works, you know, those double-blind studies where you pray for somebody and they don't know you're praying for them and you don't know who you're praying for. Harvard tried some of those some years ago. That's why those kinds of studies can tell us really nothing at all about prayer. Because the God that Jesus reveals to us is a person. Not quite like us, but a person. In the sense that one who acts and loves and makes decisions. God is not some impersonal force like gravity or some cosmic vending machine that you pop in a prayer and out comes whatever you ask for automatically. God is not like that, the Bible tells us. So, neither skepticism nor magical thinking does justice to why we pray. In the Christian tradition, we pray for two basic reasons. First, because Jesus tells us to pray, the text that we just read and in other places too, Jesus tells us to pray in order to draw us closer to God, which is the thing we need most in this world. And second, we pray because prayer really does make a difference. So I want to talk about both of those things for a minute. We pray, first of all, because Christ tells us to pray. So in the Gospels, you know, if you read the Gospels, and of course you should, Jesus is always going off somewhere by himself so he can pray. Well, why does he do that? He does it because prayer is fundamentally about our relationship with God. Prayer is one of the most important ways to practice the presence of God. And the Bible tells us we were made to love God. And if you love somebody, you want to be with that person, don't you? If you love somebody, you want to be in that person's presence. That's part of what it means to love. You like spending time with that person. So prayer is one way of loving God. And the more time we spend with God, the more God's Spirit, the Holy Spirit, shapes our own spirit. You know that in ordinary friendships, when people spend a lot of time together, they often become more like each other. Have you noticed that? When people become good friends and they hang out together for years and years and years, their attitudes, their opinions, sometimes even their way of talking and sort of moving in the world, bends toward each other the way plants bend in the direction of the sun. And the same thing is true with God. The more time we spend with God, the more our spirit bends in the direction of God's Holy Spirit. And after a while, we learn to see what God sees and want what God wants. And as that happens over time, our prayers become more powerful and more effective, not because we control the outcomes, but because we learn to ask for the very things that God wants to give. So if anybody objects that intercessory prayer, you know, the prayer for other people, if anybody objects that that's unnecessary because God will do the right thing anyway, those folks are missing the whole point. You and I were made in the image of God. We are God's children. And if we have children of our own, we know that we want our children to learn about the things that bring meaning and purpose and joy in life and help us to do right by other people. We want our kids to learn those things. Because that's just what love does. And God wants us to share the best of those things in life too. So, God gives us the gift of participating in God's own work as co-creators in this world. God gives us things to do that really matter, such that if we don't do them, they will not get done, right? You know that's true. If you neglect your children, if somebody doesn't raise their children well, providing for them food and clothing and shelter and encouragement and a sense of security, if parents don't do that, those children may not grow up well. God isn't going to rush in and change things. What the parents do or do not do for their children has real consequences. If people are hungry and nobody feeds them, they could die. If somebody is sick and we don't see that she gets the medical treatment that she needs, she may not get better at all. All sorts of high-stakes outcomes, people's well-being and sometimes even their lives, all sorts of high-stakes outcomes in this world depend on what you and I do or fail to do. And that's because God has given us this enormous responsibility of caring for one another in ways that really matter in this world. So, what if prayer is like that too? What if, whether or not we lift somebody else up in prayer, that's one of the things that helps to determine what actually happens for that person in this life? We know that's true in other ways. What if that's also true for prayer? And some of us, I'm certainly one of them, some of you are too, I imagine, some of us actually see prayer making a difference all the time. Some of us actually see answers to prayer once in a while, some of us quite regularly, in fact. Have you ever felt somebody praying for you? I feel that sometimes. Sometimes I'll feel something come over me, a kind of peace or a sense of direction, and I'll go home and Gwen, my wife, will say, yeah, I was praying for you at 2 o'clock. And I said, that's when I felt this. And other people have told me that too. Often, I have no idea what I'm going to say in a sermon. You can tell when that's the case sometimes. But sometimes I have no idea what I'm going to say in a sermon or classes that I teach at the university, or I knock on the door of somebody's house when there's been a terrible loss and you show up and you don't have a clue what you're going to say because their turmoil is so great. That happens a lot for ministers. But you come to the door and you pray about it, and my experience invariably has been that good things then come out of all that, things that I never planned or could not even imagine. We turn that uncertainty over to God, and God comes through in ways that are redeeming and powerful. I've seen sometimes people recover in remarkable ways from being sick. You know, doctors sometimes talk in code. You go to the hospital and you ask, you know, how's it going? And the doctor says something like, well, you know, Jane is very sick. And that's sort of doctor code for, we don't have a lot of hope for Jane. I've seen people for whom the medical people have said that, and then some people that are really faithful in prayer have turned up, and I've seen people recover in remarkable ways. And I've seen lots of people who suffer some terrible illness or have some enormous struggle, and they pray and people pray over them, and they manage to bear some extraordinary sickness or pain or struggle, and they just hold up in it with courage and strength and love and peace because they've been lifted up by other people in prayer, and they say, I don't know how I could have done this except that people were praying for me. I see the power of prayer all the time. Not because we control it by having enough faith, such that if we don't have enough faith and it doesn't happen, it's our fault. No. I see the power of prayer because God is good and God determines outcome. And the closer we draw to God, the more we want the things that God wants to give anyway. And by the way, while I'm on the subject, you know that physical healing in this world is always temporary, isn't it? Right? We always pray for healing, but in this life, that's always temporary. Every once in a while, I read the paper and I see some article about a new breakthrough in medicine, and it says, such and such treatment reduces mortality by 17%. And I think, no, it doesn't. What they mean, of course, is that the people who take the treatment are 17% less likely to die over a certain period of time than the people who don't take the treatment. I understand that. But I read the article that says, mortality reduced by 17%, and I think, no, that's not true. Mortality is still 100%. Everybody dies. And that's not a morbid thought, that's just the truth, right? If you don't know that, you haven't been paying attention. The mortality rate is 100%. Now that's an important thought, though. Because all those people in the Bible who were healed, right? The lame guy that gets up and walks, and the blind man that sees, and the deaf that hear, and the people with their spiritual and emotional sicknesses, and the casting out of demons, Lazarus who gets called out of the tomb. Every single person in the Bible that gets healed, you know what would happen if there was an epilogue to this story? You ever go to a movie, right, and at the end of the movie, it lists what happened to all the characters. You know, Jane went on to become president of the company, and Joe became an athlete, and, you know, somebody else did this or that. If there was an epilogue to the New Testament, you know what it would say? It would say, all those people died. The lame guy that got up and walked, he lived to be, you know, 72, and he died. The blind guy that was able to see, he lived to be, you know, 64. And the woman that was saved from this or that, she lived to be 86. They all died. the point of healings in this life and some of the other gifts that we get is not that those things will last forever in this world. The point, whenever God comes through in some spectacular way, the point is not that this is going to last forever. The point is God is here, and God is good, and God will see us through. That's what the psalmist says when he says, "Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil, for you are with me." Prayer is what draws us close to God and strengthens us in faith and hope and love, no matter what else happens. And real consequences follow from our actions and from our failure to act. So maybe then our prayers are among the things that God uses to determine what actually happens in this world. Sometimes the effects of our prayers are striking and spectacular, and Jane recovers miraculously. But often, the effects of our prayers are too subtle for us to notice. Lots of things are going on around us all the time that are too subtle for us to see. But once in a while, other times, and quite often I find, for people whose lives are shaped by the Holy Spirit, prayers contribute conspicuously to the way things turn out. We prayed for this, and look at what happened, and who could have thought that this would have been the outcome? And when that happens, as I hope you know, the effect is that it draws us even closer to God, because we learn that God is there, and God can be trusted, and God is faithful. And in fact, sometimes even what we call unanswered prayers can strengthen our faith. Have you noticed that? It's not just when you get what you want. Sometimes even what we think of as unanswered prayers can strengthen our faith. Sometimes I hear people, even Christians who've been around for a while, say, "Well, all we can do now is pray." as if that was a last resort, as if calling on the one in whom we live and move and have our being is the thing you do when all the other options are exhausted. But what kind of wisdom is that? Because isn't it precisely the things that we cannot control that drive us to depend on the one who is in control, to the only one who really is in charge? Isn't it only when our resources fail us that we're driven to turn to God and depend on God? And then doesn't faith grow deeper when we learn how much we depend on God? And then doesn't that deeper faith over time bring us courage and peace and strength for the hard times and magnify the joy for times that are good? So today I want to talk about how we pray. I want to talk about why we pray. And why is that? We pray because Jesus shows us how prayer will deepen our relationship with God and let our spirits be shaped by God's own spirit. And that, of course, is the great project of life, to grow into the image of God in which we're made. So we pray for that reason, because prayer brings us closer to God, and we pray because prayer really does make a difference in the world, not because we control the outcomes, but because God hears our prayers and responds in ways that are consistent with God's wisdom, and God is good. Prayer is not magic, as if we could control God or the world around us, but prayer changes things. And it changes things not only within us, it isn't just psychology or attitude adjustment. Prayer also changes some things in the world around us. So prayer turns out to be this amazing gift that lets you and me, the likes of us ordinary humans, to share in God's own loving, redeeming power and presence in this world. And what gift could be greater than that? Thanks be to God. Amen.